Begin the Karan Dav Masechta Shabbos Dav Tzadiches. Begin on an Alpha. Begin with Tez the Masletes. Begins the words of the Gemara. Ha Nicha Laman Da Amah. This works well according to the one who says Karashim Elmata Oivin Amah, that the planks of the Mishkan on the bottom were an Amah thick, but Kol Vahalchan Ad Ketzpa, and then when it reaches to the top, it gets to that of a finger. The Tesis is obviously here in the Gemara's discussion. At this point, where the Gemara is making it sound like according to that Man Da Amah, it's going to make sense how you have Tachta B'Shus Haram. On that Hikshar of Pyrus, he asks, wait a second. Well, the Dei Minicha, is it really good according to that man, the Amar, who hold that only on the bottom was thick and Amar, but on the top was like a finger that, oh, okay, so you have gaps over here larger than Lovud, and therefore it's going to be Takhtar Rishasar Abim. But that's not the case. Because you actually create a different paradigm over here once you say that it does get, you have a different problem. That it gets to unfingernail on the top to that of a size of a finger. What you could do now is actually you could actually make now six groups or even more. What does that mean? How are you fitting in so many? Flip it around. You could go ahead and put the pointy part of one opposite the thick part of the other one. So it comes out that actually every two planks that in the middle, where you were able to have one, you could actually have two because it narrows at the top. So now you can, when you take up, let's say, a board and you split it diagonally, that's essentially what you have with these two different boards. So actually, now you can have six orders, sholosh amos v'sholosh etzba'ot, that are going to be three amos and three fingers. In other words, like we explained, that for every two krashim, we take up a little bit more than a half an amah. So therefore, like we said, you could have six, which are each one three amas and a third of a finger. The yisharu yidal tefachim la'avre. Now you're left with 11 tefachim for the ear space, which is because, like we said, the wagon is five amas in the length, and you take away three amas and a third, so that's a little bit more than 11 tefachim. And when you take that, so what's remaining, michishadus lubeini beini. Now when you put it in between kelavid dummy, that's going to be like lavid because you split that 11 tefachim to the five gaps, because you're actually having six orders, more than the Gemara you've been entertained by any Madama. But we said since this Madama holds, it narrows at the top, so you can now flip it around, and the back of one is the front of the other one, and you're not going to have more than three Tvachim in any of the gaps. So you're back to Lovitz, so it comes out all of this covered. So why does the Gemara say, according to this Madama, that it narrows at the top like a finger, as if it was good? No, to the contrary, because like we said in the Gemara, you got to slip in as much as you can get in, and you can get in six, because you just flip it around, and then you're actually having less than you're having the share of lavud, and therefore shall be considered covered. I have a tirutz on that. Rav Pyrus answered. He says no. The gnai hu lahasim tzada avo imit samach lekak. It's disgraceful to put the thicker part of the beams, which are what lays on the ground, etzla katzer near the narrow part, shahay lamala, which that's on the top of the mishkan, mokum shayris prusas alein, where the curtains hang over on it. And as Taisa says, this is similar to what we say in the Gemara elsewhere, many places in Shas, that we only elevate in regards to sanctity and we don't downgrade it. And if you would put it all in one order, then you're back to the thing that we said, that you're only having four krashim, and on the top you're having a larger gap, and therefore it is going to be more than three tefachim. There is not going to be love, because we're not flipping it around, because that wouldn't be appropriate to have the top of one near the bottom of the other one. That's one approach. He answers, the Kamosha, you perk an isim in the Mishkan. A different reason why we didn't do this flipping around thing that you could fit in more and then again have less than the gaps of width and lovid. Because he says, no, the Kamosha, you perk an isim in the Mishkan, just like they would unload it from the Mishkan, kacha yimanichan alagala. In that same order, they would go in and place it onto the wagon. So I say, it's a little dive in the Mishkan because the wagons are right near the walls of the Mishkan. That's how we do it without going in extra exertion. So you put exactly as it was. I mean, every beam is going the same, every plank is going the same direction. But to turn it around so we can fit more in the wagon, that would be a great exertion, and therefore that's not what was done. And again, therefore we have to explain why, since it narrows in the top, you have more than three tvachim between the orders of the planks. And again, we're not going to go and flip it around because the second terrace says that would be too much of a tircha. But when Yitzchak, he gives a third approach. He says, no, the Shema mechetzinu l'malahay kol ha'ochen. Who said it's like we thought of until now, that it's like a perfect diagonal cut so that you could then go do one and do the inverse of the other one instead of going all the same direction? You could do these triangles and complete into that square. No, maybe only halfway up did it start narrowing. Now you can't do more because you can't flip it around. It's not a perfect diagonal that you would be able to go ahead and match it up from the other side with the other one. And if it wouldn't fit, it would have to be only one directional. And again, therefore, you have those larger gaps at the top that would be tachta b'shesra. Now, Taisa says, Taisa asks the following question. What are you going to say? But how do we even understand this whole halacha in the first place? From where do we know that you learn out the laws of Rosh Hashanah, which we're saying we have to compare like it was in the Digli Hamidbar, which was that it was from the Agolam. So you're telling me that Otakhtav is Rosh Hashanah, that's how we know the halacha. This whole daf is based on this halacha we're trying to support, to say that, oh, if it's a Rosh Hashanah Makur, it's not going to be carrying Rosh Hashanah, like in Digli Hamidbar. But why? Why are you learning out from the part of the wagon that happens to be uncovered? Right? Oh, we're able to find a spot, and that's the whole Gemara's discussion. Where is there any part of the wagon that's uncovered? Neiluf min amakurisha, but what do you mean? Everyone agrees part of the wagon, which is this whole halacha b'tum of Rosh Hashanah, part of it was covered. Therefore, if someone carries 4 amas Rosh Hashanah, even if it's covered, it should be chayv, which was like by the Digla Midbar, which part of it was covered. So that's just Taisa B'Yosem. What you could say is like this. The truth is that we should learn out from the airspace, which means that it's not covered in the wagons, that that's where we would know the halachas of what's considered as Rosh Hashanah. Why? That's obviously more comparable to what a Rosh Hashanah is, which is an open space area. And because generally Rosh Hashanah is not covered, and therefore that's where we're going to qualify the malacha b'tzah that was in the Mishkan, which was the uncovered part. Now, Riyaymer, he says, no, that actually the Mahacha lo yafin Rosh Hashanah. He answers, he says, actually, from here, the part that wasn't covered by the wagons, you're right, we could learn out from the covered or uncovered. This is actually not the source of where we learn out the halacha of Rosh Hashanah. Because you could ask, why learn from that versus that one? Rather, learning out from the Mach Levi, as the Gemara previously said, which is what's considered Rosh Hashanah, which was by Moshe Rabbeinu, and not to bring from your house to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here we're only learning out regarding the measurements of what's considered a Rosh Hashanah, the Habiyut of Amas, which is only 16 Amas, which Gemara later on is going to explain. Where do you see that they mentioned here in the Digli Midbar? However, if not for the fact that what was beneath the wagon and between them on the sides of wagons, if they weren't considered Rosh Hashanah, we would not have learned out from it to be the dimension of Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, the Gemara just has to prove that it is Rosh Hashanah. But you're right, this is not the source of Rosh Hashanah. Because then, what do you mean? Why learn from the part that's in Makura? Learn from the part that's Makura. That's why he says, you're right, we're not learning out from Obi. That's from Machn Leviyah. Here it's just, we have to, what's called in Shtel Avek, we have to first posit, support this position that it is Rosh Hashanah. And then you can learn from it. What is the main purpose of the Gemara? Which is today the sheer of Rosh Hashanah. So where was this Atvi? Agavad Agol, it was on top of the wagon. Oh, Agol Makurahu, Makurahi, but what do you mean? The wagon itself was covered. Tosfos can explain to what is this Atvi? And Tosfos has a whole interpretation of, based on this, what the whole Sugya of the Gemara is. Tosfos brings that Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains, the Sokad Aitach, that the assumption was, and this is what the Gemara's question is, and as Rashi explains that what this atfi is like paper clips, which means to say that it's like, you're right, if you would split up evenly amongst all the piles of boards on the wagon, you would have lovet. But they didn't have one and then a gap and then another one and then a gap, another one. No, you had two together, then a gap, and then two together. So in that gap, there was more than lovet, and that's where Ptachim is just around. And that's the big most question is that, oh, as Taisa explains, Rashi says the Sakhidat the Gemara assumption of Shagolais Makur. What do you mean? But Atvi, Hechamanakhl, where were these Atvi? You're right. There was a gap between them, between the boards. But that was Agabad Agala. And that the Gemara is asking, but Agala Makuri, but the wagon itself on the bottom is itself covered. The floor of the wagon is covered. So how can you say Takhle Mishazarab? That's how Rashi explains the Gemara's question, because the assumption was that the wagon itself is covered. And that's just Taisa a few different questions. It says, Batayma to wonder. Why? Why would we assume to think that was, and as the way Rashi learned the Gemara's answer, that actually B'Yisei this means it wasn't. It was a certain type of a wagon. Why did the Gemara assume to ask you the question that it was a wagon that has a floor on the bottom of the wagon to say that, oh, how could you say Taklub is Rosh Hashanah if it's a covered and you said Rosh Hashanah Makur is not Rosh Hashanah? Well, even another question to you says, the B'chalas from Gersina, in all the different texts of the Gemara, the text is Atvi Heichem Manachlo. As we have in here in the Divrei Maschil Taisus, that, oh, so where was this Atvi, which the Gemara had answered to explain how you have a gap between the boards? Where is that place? That's a Gavad Agol, that's on top of the wagon. And that was saying, oh, on top of the wagon, but the wagon itself is covered. It says Taisus, Malu Lahaska Atvi Bachat Kafasa. According to Rashi interpretation, What was the necessity of pointing out where is the atfi? That's not relevant. It's like saying, okay, you took care of that, but what about this question? The only thing the Gemara should have said is, the wagon itself is covered in the bottom. So forget about where's the atfi. We already finished that discussion. Valid Moravate says, the Gesin La'el Bidra Asa. The Gemara, when it's originally talking about how is it talking about Shas Rav, isn't it covered with the boards? So the Gemara says, oh, it's Bidra Asa, which Rashi explains is the gap between the planks. Now the problem is, says Taisa B'chol Svarim Gersina Bedara Tasa. And all this Svarim, it's not one word, it's Bedara Tasa, which means say the bottom, which is the first row of the planks on the wagon. And says Taisa, even the figure Tasa Nami, even according to their text, that it's one word, Bedara Asa, Ena Lashem Mashma Bein Ashuris. It's still either one, whether the one that it's the primary text or the, what we have in the text. So Taisa, it doesn't sound like what Rashi says, it means between the planks, that's where the gap was, and that's where Tachta B'Shus Rabim, Kamesh appears like Rashi explains. It sounds like something else, which Taisa is going to explain. What is B'dara Tassa? According to Rashi, nothing to do with the first row. It's between the rows. So they pretend to be Nirlo Rabbein Tam, it appears to Rabbein Tam, Kamesh appears Rach. Look at the Rabbein Chanan explains. That was bothering the Gemara in the beginning. Was how could Rav say that if someone carries 4 amos of Shas Rav, if it's covered, it's going to be potter? But Rav says that if you have a wagon beneath it and between them and on the sides of Shas Rabim, and beneath the wagons was covered. So that the Gemara says, this that Rav says that beneath the wagons, Shas Rabim, that's Bedara Tasa. Perish, what does that mean? Dara is the row, Tasa is the bottom, meaning Perish Beshuri Shaina. In the first row of the planks that was put on the wagon, what's that? Oh, explain Taisus. Shadayim lo hiniach ala golei lekrashim ha-tachtim levad. The only thing that was placed was the bottom rows, meaning that you didn't pile up all the piles up on top. All you did was you covered the wagon with the bottom layers, because we said you would have to layer them up. You had 12 boards on this wagon that only led on its length, whether it be 3 or 4 boards, then you had to pile them up. So all you did was you put on the bottom boards. So ain't the makura kula. That's what Rav was saying. That's what the Gemara was answering. That no, it's not totally covered the wagon. Shesh revach ben ashuris, because the space between the rows, because the wagon did not have a floor. From the fash baz, like the Gemara explains, that the thickness of the boards were an amma, and there's 4 boards on the length of the wagon, so you still have spaces between the boards. That's why we're saying bedara tasa. It means that you only have the bottom rows, the first rows, meaning not what goes on top of that, because Amakesha Mesadah Shurish Nevishlish is because when you ultimately start piling up the boards, a second layer, and then a third layer, so Tracy explains what happened then. Nistama Avrisha Ben Ashurish, then we understood that then the ear space is going to be covered between the rows. As Tracy says, a very pragmatic thing. You can't make it exactly. Well, I've seen Zal Zeb Shadon Amish to make such a perfect straight rows going upwards up towards the height. Rather, each board would be sticking out a little bit. Until yes, all the airspace would be covered over the wagon. Like you're putting bricks one on top of the other, it ends up covering. When you have a half a brick on the regular brick, you end up covering over the airspace that you had left over from the one beneath it. And therefore, that's what the Gemara was answering. The gap is Bedara Tasa. We have only the lower, the first layer of the boards. Then you have a gap. Now, Paruch, and that's what the Gemara asks. Urcha de agola kama hava v'chulu. So wait a second. How much is the length of the wagon? Kolema, what's the Gemara asking? Afila b'shuri shayna. The Gemara is asking and saying, well, okay, you said that when is it going to be Takta b'shus Rab? When you didn't put on the higher layers yet. You only put on the first layer. That's when you're going to have it. But that's what the Gemara is saying. No, even b'shurishayin, even when you only put on the first layer, lohaya tachtein rishas ram. No, beneath that, even then it wasn't rishas ram. K'mefash v'az, like the Gemara explains, because the gap between them was less than 3 tefachim, and since you say loved, all of it is considered as covered. That amashan, that's what the Gemara answers. Amar Rav Kahane says ba'at pi'i. What does that mean? So Tosafot explains this. Says avagav b'loy kamer ella. Although the Gemara is not saying ella ba'at pi'i, which that would sound like, okay, we're retracting what we said on, but till now it doesn't say Ella, but still says Taisus Hadabay. The Gemara at this point is retracting from what originally said. The Vaday, because she yes, Krash Malagol, because you're right. Most definitely, when there are planks of the Mishkan on the wagon, afilah dara tasa, even the first layer of the boards, that loy have rishus haram tachta, you're right, beneath it is not rishus haram, which was like the Gemara's question, that since you have four boards on this five amma length of the wagon, so you're going to have less than three tefachim between the gaps, and that's going to be loved. So yes, beneath it is not going to be rishus haram. Eliki come and rishus haram. So the Gemara is giving a new approach. Rather, when did we say that beneath the rishus haram and ba'atbi? What does ba'atbi mean? So Tais explains. She'ein ala gola ela atbi greder. That all you have on top of the wagon is these atbis. Perish. What does atbi mean? It's shnei etzim nekuvim b'shnei rishem. These are two pieces of wood that have holes in them at either end. Nekuvim ke'in tabois. They have holes like rings. And a kachka lo atboi. That's what we're calling atboi, which is like from the word of tabas, of a ring. Now, b'teich v'n oisin, they would stoop them, push them, that you should have these two woods with the holes at the edge, a la kondisin, which are parts of on the animal, on the wagon, ha'im de mishnei tzidei ha'gol l'rachba, that would be standing by the two ends of the wagon on its width, l'fanel l'achreo, in the front and in the back, k'desh l'yiplak rashim, so that the board shouldn't fall down. And that's what we're talking about. When the atba at the end, there's no boards at all, then you could have the nothing beneath it, and then there's going to be tachta b'rishus haram. Now, Tosfos just explains, it's officially in this Amar L'El. It's only because we didn't say, when we gave the first approach in the Gemara, we didn't mention any Amar's name. So, in derech hashas le'me Ella. So, therefore, it's not normal for the Gemara to say Ella. If we said an Amar's name, we said, no, Ella, rather this Amar says differently. But says Tosfos, the way he's explaining, we retracted what we originally said. We originally thought bedara tasa, the bottom row. Then we said, no, even when the bottom row, and you don't have the upper row is covering that airspace, even the bottom row, you still have lavud. So he said, yeah, no planks here at all. It's rather, it's with this atbi, which Tosfos explains, are these boards that have like these holes like rings. That's, at that point, is when tachta b'rishus haram. And that is weird, where our Tosfos maskil starts. Parach, and that's what the Gemara asked. Atbi heicha mantchaluhu. Wait a second. Where were these atbis? They were gabda gola. They were on top of the wagon. Pirish, what does that mean? The Gemara is asking on the premise that the Gemara was answering. These atvi were only placed there after the planks were already put on the wagon. Then you put on the atvi, which are these tabois, or masgaris, these rings and these locks. The priest can explain, around the front and the back, that's kadeshiyach takrash, and that like locks it in, so it should hold on to the planks. But that's the Gemara's question, is at that point, it's already a covered wagon because of the beams, because of the planks. So it's already Rosh Hashanah Makura. That's the Gemara's question. You can't say it's Atvi if at that point you only put in the Atvi after you already have the planks. And therefore, Tais explains, Ligur Sina Agala Gufa. The Gemara says not to have that, the Agala itself, the wagon itself, which is the way Rashi had explained it, that itself makes it Makura. No, El Agala Makuri, rather it's just that it's a wagon that's already covered because the planks that are put there before you put on the Atvi. So that's a good question. On that Amashan, that's a Gemara answers. Amashmuli says, be you say this. What does this mean? To perish, this means to say, Atbi de Kama Rav Kahana. Shmuel is coming to qualify. He says, this that Rav Kahana said, that it's when you only have Atbi, then Takhtbi is Rosh Hazarabim. Says, Loi Eisen Eitz in the Kuvim Hamasim Larecha Magala. No, don't confuse this with the pieces of wood that have holes in it that you put on the width of the wagon, the bridge, like we explained, because like the Gemara asked, no, those are only put there after you put on the planks. No, Elabi, you say this. Rather, these are the pegs. Pirish, what does this mean to say? This is something else. Shnei Eitzim Aruchim, these are two long pieces of wood. Shekamaykei Nekvenoysim, Bishnei Rishim. There you also make holes in them at the two ends. But Noysim Al Kondisim, Lo'ich HaGolim, you put on the Kondisim on the length of the wagon, which the Kondisim are like these reins, these things that are the yoke of the wagon. And that's actually put on first. And therefore, that could be before there's any planks. Because on those piece of wood is where you then put on the planks. Why do you put on these planks? We don't want the planks to be very low down because it could go ahead and weigh down on the wheels. We want it to elevate a little bit that it should be higher than the wheels and not weigh down and prevent the wagon from moving. Those of Asuin Kimayatbi. That's why he's qualifying. Those are actually made very similar to the atbi, shal roich ba'gola, that's on the width of the wagon, shal achartin, which is only done after you load it up. And that's why he said when Rav Kahana was saying atbi, it really meant these yesedes, which are the same type of principle of what it is, and that is actually there beforehand, And therefore, that's what Rav meant to say, the Tachta of the Mishnah's Ram, because there are no planks yet at this point. And that's what Taisa says, Lafisha Shmuel, Enikim, Afarish, Devrikan, the Sin Shmuel is only really qualifying and explaining what Rav Kanda really meant to say. That's why they come at Ela. That's why it doesn't say Ela, because it's not a new interpretation. It's just a reinterpretation of what Rav Kanda was saying. Of Arach Mefarish, but he brings that Rav Kanda explains, no, the Hodebe Mishnud Rav Kanda, that he was actually retracting, they were retracting from what Rav Kanda had answered. And that he's coming to give a different interpretation of how was it beneath the wagons, like Rosh Hashanah, that Tumad Yisei does it not to Atbi. That doesn't seem to be correct. In fact, that doesn't say Ella. If Shmuel is giving a new interpretation, should have said Ella. Boy, more of it says, hey, Chayutai Rav Kana. How would it be possible Rav Kana should make such a mistake that to explain that what was Rav talking about, that beneath the wagon of Rosh Hashanah by Atbi, if Atbi you put on, as Tais says, the in regulus on the lakatina, which was the Gemara's question, that you don't put on until after you load up the planks. And then you already have it covered simply because of the boards itself. So obviously, that's what Shmuel is coming to explain to Rav Kahana, that what did he mean by Atbi? He meant these pegs that you put on to the wagon, which are similar to Atbi, which that's what he meant, that those are the before the planks, and therefore, it's not a different interpretation, rather, it's a reinterpretation of, or an explanation of what Rav Kahana himself had said.